very good morning to you. I'm Libby Price. Great to have your company on A Country Breakfast. Later this morning, we're rebroadcasting an ABC Rural story that's just won an international award. It's called Trapping Bitches Like a Lady, and it's about Australia's only female wild dog trapper.
So now we've got it set. It's ready to go. Dog comes along. He sniffs at it. You're right, because I don't want to set it. I'm not setting it again. And that's what happens. His foot goes in there.
I was, to be honest, I was expecting something more dramatic.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, you're frightened of it, but it's not. Yeah.
Trust me, it's a pearler. Well worth staying around for a listen. Also travel the country with our rural reporters, but before that, let's find out what's been making news this week. Hello, Edwina Farley.
Morning, Libby.
Now, straight into election coverage.
It is
morning.
Polling day, yes. Opposition leader Tony Abbott has acknowledged this week some regional infrastructure projects to be funded by the mining tax will be scrapped by a coalition government. Labor set up the Regional Infrastructure Fund to channel what it originally expected to be $3.6 billion in mining tax revenue over 10 years into regional projects. Now, asked several times by journalists this week if the Regional Infrastructure Fund would go, Mr. Abbott admitted it would not be immune from the coalition's budget cuts.
Obviously, unless otherwise specified, spending associated with the mining tax is not going ahead. There are some specific projects associated with the Regional Infrastructure Fund. Some of them will continue, some of them won't.
Labor has focused on agricultural careers.
Yes, it did. It's a food and agricultural careers plan promised by Labor to create 20 dedicated agriculture and food skills training centres around the country. The plan also includes online help for job seekers in agriculture, $6.5 million for food job expos in capital cities and regional centres, and expanding the Stephanie Alexander Kitchen Garden program with an additional $5.4 million over 3 years. The Agriculture Minister, Joel Fitzgibbon, says the trades training centres are already included in the budget figures, but won't say when they'll be up and running because Labor has to win the election first.
The key point here is that if Labor is elected, there will be another round of trades training centres. I was at a Tasmanian forum just last night where farmers were complaining that they weren't able to find the labour they need to work their dairy farms, and our online job matching project and, of course, our jobs expos can help to match those people.
From farming to mining, and the smaller mining companies are quite happy with the coalition.
They are, because it's promised a tax break for mineral exploration. The incentive allows investors to deduct drilling costs against their taxable income, and it would start next July and run for a year. Clive Jones of exploration company Kazali Resources says funding for drilling to find new mines has all but dried up. He says the scheme should help turn that around.
This allows another avenue of funding, gives a great incentive to, you know, mum and dad investors, if you like, to invest, and they can, you know, claim a tax deduction. It's a great result for the junior sector.
Now, my palms are sweating in anticipation of watching the federal election coverage this evening. I'm sure you're equally champing at the bit, Edwina.
I can hardly wait to, drape myself on the couch and consume 70s-style food in a Don's Party tribute, yes.
Well, what is really going to be interesting is what's going to happen with some of the Senate seats.
Yeah, it's really going to be the one to watch. And, of course, Queensland in particular is the most interesting. Polling released this week indicated that Clive Palmer's Palmer United Party has a chance now of winning a Senate seat, but Bob Katter's Australia Party is also considered a good show to pick up a seat in Queensland, thanks in part to a preference deal with Labor in the Sunshine State. Mr. Palmer predicts he'll get 2 Senate spots in Queensland and 1 in New South Wales because voters have had enough of the major parties.
We've put forward a plan. I've got a track record of being successful in business. We're dealing with a business problem. I know these guys have never had a job. I know they've been in Parliament or in the public service for over 30, 40 years, like a stew cooking. And then you know what happens if you cook a stew for 30 years. You know what rises to the top. And that's what's happened in this place.
Funny, he says none of them have ever had a job, but this is the job he now wants. Anyway, we can't hear from Clive Palmer without hearing from Bob Katter.
No, we can't. Mr. Katter says his party wouldn't automatically back either the Coalition or Labor should it get the Senate balance of power. And he's defended his deal with Labor in Queensland, which he says is designed to keep the Greens out of Parliament.
We've taken terrific pain ourselves in this advertising campaign to try and protect our state from putting a Green in that sixth Senate spot. And I won't resign or apologise to them now or ever. And if they think we're going to be a rubber stamp and give them every single preference in Australia, well, we're not a rubber stamp for the Liberal Party, and we're most certainly not a rubber stamp for the ALP.
I imagine Bob Katter would be a speech therapist nightmare because he gets excited and it constricts his vocal cords and it all goes up a couple of octaves.
We've all been there, haven't we?
Indeed, yes. Labor has given an 11th hour promise to food manufacturers.
Yes, a bit of action around the whole agricultural push in the last couple of weeks of the campaign. But the head of the Food and Grocery Council, Terry O'Brien, says Labor's late charge to support food manufacturing may not necessarily be enough. Mr. O'Brien, who's also Simplot's managing director, is pretty happy about the $43 million to upgrade fruit and vegetable processing. This is both at Simplot and SPC Ardmona, so in a range of states, Tasmania, Victoria and New South Wales. But Mr. O'Brien says Labor, with some exceptions, spent its early years ignoring the issues.
Kim Carr, when he was industry minister, he was certainly somebody who was working pretty hard to find things that would help the Australian manufacturers in the face of the high dollar and the escalating costs. But in general, I felt that the Labor Party were more inclined to leave status quo and, if anything, probably support the unions in making it just that little bit more difficult.
The supermarkets are back in the headlines, this time saying, no, 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 we don't have too much power.
Yes, and we heard a sort of murmurings, I suppose, around the supermarket code of conduct during the campaign. Of course, that the issue of competition is on the agenda for post the campaign, whichever side wins government. But Woolworths is rejecting claims that itself and Coles have too much power. Ziggy Kwasinski from Woolworths says the market is the most competitive in years.
The entrance of Aldi into the Australian supermarkets, Costco, they're multinational companies that are probably twice the size of Woolworths. They have a very, very powerful relationship with their multinational suppliers.
Now, you'd think with frequent cries of we'll all be ruined that things would be very bad with debt in the agricultural sector, but not as bad as you'd think.
They're not so crook in Tallarook, no. In fact, a study, it was kind of surprised us all really this week, but it found most Australian farm businesses have actually reduced their level of debt in recent years. It's the Australian Farm Institute's latest policy journal, and it did find there were some exceptions and hot spots, as it referred to them, with higher levels of debt among northern beef producers and Western Australian grain farmers, where there's been pretty dry weather. Institute Executive Director Mick says there's been a more cautious approach to farm business decisions following the global financial crisis.
We've seen a levelling off in land values. Fortuitously, we've also seen a reduction in interest rates, so that's given farmers who wanted to pay down debt a bit of a breather and a bit of an opportunity to get those numbers into order.
Now, apparently there's a lot more to Saltbush than you'd think.
There is. In fact, in the inaugural Eureka Prize for Sustainable Agriculture, Saltbush played quite the leading role in an award to a project that showed the benefits of grazing livestock on perennial native shrubs. This was work done between the University of Western Australia, the CSIRO and the South Australian Research and Development Institute. Dr. Dean Revell of CSIRO says in dry southern Australia, grazing sheep and cattle on saltbush could increase profits by up to 24% and reduce greenhouse gas emissions and erosion.
So they're providing sources of nutrients that would otherwise have to be provided through supplementary feeding, which can be quite expensive. They spare other parts of the farm at that critical time of year, which allow other parts of the farm to grow more feed. Also importantly, they do it on parts of the farm where other enterprises such as cropping may not be profitable.
In Western Australia, lobster prices rock.
this may not feature on the election party menu. Yes, they're receiving record high prices for their catch. Large-sized Western rock lobsters are fetching $90 a kilo and are being exported live to China. Now, 3 years ago, WA's lobsters were worth $30 a kilo, so it's a massive difference. Geraldton fisherman Glenn Batalana says it's a great time for the industry.
Everyone's very happy. It's the highest prices ever for West Australia rock lobster. I've never seen anything like this. I think anyone has.
Very different kind of live export trade. Hadn't really thought of that one. And there was a very expensive tray of mangoes sold this week.
$30,000 worth at the Sydney markets. Of course, it's the symbolic first tray of Northern Territory mangoes, which was bought this year by Heath McInerney on behalf of a large group of Sydney market stallholders. It's an annual mango auction, now in its 34th year, and all of that $30,000 goes to charity.
It's very similar to the first box of cherries, isn't it?
Yes, yep. Exactly.
Those off. Edwina, thank you.
Thanks, Libby.
Edwina Farley with this week's Rural News.